Welcome to the Plant Spirit Podcast on connecting with plant consciousness and the healing wisdom of nature. I'm your host, Sarah Artemisia, and I'm delighted to introduce our next guest to the show today. Danae Grace Seacombe Fuller is a tarot guide and flower alchemist and founder of Moonflower Medicine. She's walked in beauty and balance with the tarot and the flowers for her entire adult life, and she's deeply inspired and informed by the plants where she lives in Ashland, Oregon, which is the ancestral homelands of the Tequelma peoples, as well as from her homeland in Belize. So Danae, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sarah, for having me. This is such an honor, and I'm so excited to talk about something I feel so passionate about.
Totally. And that you are so deeply connected to. I feel so honored to know your work with the flower essences, with plant medicine, with the tarot. And I'm really honored that you've joined us on the show today. And particularly in working with you with flower essences over the past several years, as we've been doing this like deep dive journey together into who the flower essences really are. It's just so clear that you are really connected with the many multitudes of layers of who the medicinal plants really are and how we can best work in collaboration with them. And so I would really love to just start with hearing a bit about what is it that you love about plants and flowers?
Yeah, that's a great question for our topic for today. And oh my gosh, you know, working with plants and flowers, what is there not to love? But truly, I think my favorite thing about them is how they deeply connect us and show us how to belong or where to belong. And, you know, in saying that, I think of the story of Sky Woman. It's the creation story from the Great Lakes area, and many different tribes share that story in different ways. I think Robin Kimmerer and Braiding Sweetgrass has really brought that story forth in a powerful way. But, you know, if you remember it, Sky Woman falls from the sky vault, the world above us. And it's an accidental fall, right, through this great hole in their land. And her act of desperation, so she doesn't fall, is to grab at the dirt and the soil on her descent down. And she comes down to our earth, which is just a vast sea, and all the animals help her. And they know she's going to need soil. You know, she lands on Great Turtle's back, and one of the animals goes to the bottom of the sea and brings up mud. And what she does is take the soil from her magical land and mixes it with our sea mud or whatever came from the bottom of the sea. And then she dances and sings. And the creation story says that North America, the Great Turtle Land, is formed. But in that soil are seeds. And so the different stories are maybe it's strawberry, maybe it's tobacco, maybe it's sweetgrass. It doesn't really matter what it was. The important thing is the plants came with her. Because in many ways, she's like a refugee from another land, and she needs to orient. She needs to be here. She needs to figure out how to belong. And it's the plants that really do that for her. You know, they give her a sense of comfort from where she came from, and they're going to be with her here. But also, we have an extreme dependence on the plants. So they come with her to give her life. And, you know, to take that story a little bit deeper and to really personalize it. About 11 years ago, I moved here to Ashland, Oregon from my homeland of Belize. And that was the second time in my life I was going to geographically relocate into the United States. And this time it was with four sons who all only knew Belize. They were Belizean. And I was leaving their father. I was getting divorced. So it was an intense time. And I'd never lived this far north, the Pacific Northwest. And I immediately met who would become a flower essence mentor for me, an herbal woman. And she started to point out, you know, the cedar, the ponderosa, plantain, yarrow, all the plants that were here. And I was just in survival mode and overwhelmed and had spent 17 years learning the tropicals of Belize. I had no bandwidth to take in more information. And one day I was walking along Bear Creek. As you know, we have all these wonderful creeks and waterways that go through our lands here. And a Datura started calling me towards her. And I was kind of shocked, like, oh my gosh, what, is that a Datura? No way. You know, I'm deeply connected to Datura. I knew exactly who that was. And she was blooming and she was calling me to the riverside. And her message to me really was, you're okay. I'm here. You're here. You belong here. Together, we're going to do this. And she really is the marker for me on how I started to learn all the plants, which I can't believe I never did know them because now they're just super old friends. But yeah, to answer the very long way to answer that question is the plants and the flowers help us belong. They help us belong and connect to this earth, which is something we really need to do.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I feel that so strongly. What you were just talking about with the orienting piece, how the plants help us orient. I really, really feel that. I really feel that so deeply. And that piece of the belonging aspect, which I know a lot of particularly sensitive and empathic folks, I think sometimes it can be a bit challenging to feel like we belong here, like we belong in this earth where there is just so much intensity going on. And that the plants, I have personally experienced that very deeply in my journey with plants as well, that like they really helped me understand this very deep sense of belonging and connection that I have with this earth, that we each have with this earth. And that is such a sacred, beautiful gift that, like you shared from that myth, that has been brought to this earth. So that is really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. You know, another thing that's coming up for me is something else that can be really, really helpful in that journey of orienting and belonging is understanding different archetypal languages and understanding different archetypal symbols and symbolism and having a framework of understanding the world through the lens of archetypes is so helpful because for me, it helps me navigate through personal situations, through planetary ones. And as you know, for myself, for example, astrology is such a powerful language for understanding archetypes. And I know in your work that the tarot is really such a deep language of archetypes that you work and walk in so deeply. And I'm curious, what do, in your experience, the plants and flowers have to do with tarot archetypes?
It's really very fascinating. And I stumbled upon this in teaching a class last year. I was explaining to the students how tarot came about in our historical timeline. The first card showed up at the end of the 1400s in Italy. And there are 78 cards in a tarot system. But at that time, only 22 of them were like depicted, like fleshed out with imagery. It took till 1909, till two esotericists decided, hey, let's put imagery to all these cards. So they call that the true and rectified tarot, the Rider-Waite-Smith. Even today, 112 years later, it is the most sold tarot deck. So they definitely knew they were onto something. And they were in a mystery school. They were coming out of Freemasonry. So, you know, esotericists, everything they do is with intention. So I was teaching this tarot class. I was teaching the history of it. And I had this aha moment where I was like, I'm telling my students every color means something. Every posture means something. Every body angle means something. I was like, oh my gosh, every plant means something. You know, so that's where I really came into like plants and the archetypes are telling, they're both informing us of what is going on in a particular card. And I think it's important to understand archetypes are patterns, behaviors, personalities that live in our unconscious mind. They have been there since the beginning of time. They will be there till the end of time. And Tarot identifies 22 majors, arcanas or secrets or archetypes. And so each of those, well, there are a few that don't have a plant or flower ally, but most of them do. And so the archetypes and the plants are walking hand in hand. And to me, it's sort of back to like the plants are with us from the beginning. If they're with these archetypes that live in our mind forever and ever, the plants are always with us.
Yeah, I feel that for sure. For sure. And I'm curious too, in your experience, how do the plant spirits really give us a deeper understanding of the tarot archetypes?
You know, a little bit more about tarot history, like what it came about in a time frame where it's based off of like Greek and Egyptian mythology and stories, the Kabbalah, which is Hebrew, mysticism of the Tree of Life. There's Christian mysticism in there. And so when you really start to learn those stories in association with the archetypes and the plant stories that are based in those myths, like for instance, the fool carries a white rose. In Tarot and in Greek myth, the white rose is the first rose. And the way it turns red is Aphrodite is running to save Apollo, who's fallen on the battlefield and hurt himself, but she falls and starts to bleed and her blood stains the white rose red. You know, and so the stories of the plants, the magical stories, not the like, you know, the herbal chemical composition of what they're going to do for us, but the magic and the myth and the spirit of the plant and these old stories that are coming out of very specific cultures and time frames. That's how the tarot and the plant spirits travel together in this very synergistic and beautiful journey to tell us more, to deepen our tarot experience, really.
I love that. And particularly how connected you are to the magic and the myth, the magic and the myth of the plants and the tarot. And really, I feel in your work that you are so connected, deeply connected with helping people open up to the magic and myth and medicine of their own life, which is so incredibly powerful. And so I'm curious, how do you and your clients and students for that matter to really utilize the plants of the tarot in your life?
I do really love magic and myth. And I mean, I feel like, honestly, if I could rename and retitle my work, like I love stories. I love being a collector of stories and the old myths and the old fairy tales. And it's just really fed me deeply, especially after, you know, the education system, I think, and the way we've had to use our brains, it's like the stories are just magic and fun for me. So with my students, what I have everybody do is identify their birth number, because everybody's born into, it's just like astrology. You're born on a day, and when you add up the numbers in a correct way, you come to an archetypal number, and that archetype wants to work with you throughout your life. So now once we've, you know, identified your archetype, we go and see what plants are working with that archetype. And it's just a very important part of my class. And so the first way we begin to work with the plant spirit is through invocation or prayer. And we always, when we invocate a plant, we begin with our gratitudes. So, you know, not everybody's a plant person and not everybody's supposed to be or going to be. Some people are just really, truly there for tarot information. And, you know, like, for instance, maybe you're an eight and the eight is the card of strength and she has red roses on her dress. And so I'll just ask you to think of red rose and have some sort of gratitude for it. And maybe all of a sudden this memory comes up of your grandmother and the roses that she used to put in the kitchen. You know, you never know what appears, but we begin with these gratitudes. And then from there, we begin to ask the plant to work with us to strengthen and deepen the archetype within us, who we were born into, who reveals something about our dharma and our purpose here on the planet. So they help us to really flesh out, are we living our best life? Another way I work with them, of course, is through the essences. I'm a flower essence practitioner. So you're definitely going to get an essence of your archetype's plant. And you're going to work with that essence to really help you deepen into the archetype. And there's never an end to it, because after you learn your birth archetype, there's your ancestral archetypes, there's your constellation, you know, there, it can go on and on. So there's lots of information and lots of ways to work with the plants and the essences and the archetypes. And
love that. Yeah. And I totally feel what you were just talking about with the plants and the archetypes, how it really feels to me that the plants are inherently archetypal. When I work with plants, it's like studying them, they can mirror different ways back for how to be, you know, moving energy through my body in a good way, how to be really grounded, how to be creatively expressive, you know, from the inside out. How have you found that flower essences really can help us?
Oh gosh, they're so potent. They're so misunderstood and undervalued, even still, I think, how strong they are. They awaken us. They work on deep emotional spaces within our body to heal and cure things. I mean, I think their strongest medicine is in the emotional realm, but you know, all disease even begins on unresolved emotion. So I think it's some of our most potent medicine, especially moving into this transitional time and the new age. And I've heard elders say that the flowers specifically are the medicine of the next age. So I don't go a day without an essence. They more than a vitamin. I need a flower essence. You know, if you want me to take that a little deeper too, it's my first flower essence arrived from Dr. Greg, who is Rosita Arvigo's husband, and he's a flower essence practitioner. He's a Bach practitioner. And I had lost my daughter. She died of dysentery when she was 2 on the islands of Belize. And he sent me Rescue Remedy and said, just open it and use it. I didn't even know what it was. It sat on my altar for 2 years, but I appreciated the gift. And in the meantime, a girlfriend started bringing me the Michelle Small Wright books and saying, you live in this 1 acre beautiful tropical garden. Aren't you making flower essences? You feel like a flower essence practitioner to me. And I think it was the 2nd year anniversary of my daughter Isabella passing, and I was in such deep grief still. And she was a lover of flowers, of every flower. And it was on that day that I picked up those books and said, I'm going to make a flower essence of my daughter's favorite flower. And that's where I think the journey truly began, when I made a hibiscus flower essence that kind of brought me back to life and gave me a desire to live again.
Beautiful. And what a beautiful gift from your daughter, from the spirit realm. Clearly she was present there for that. That's amazing.
Absolutely. And it's many years later now, like 14 years, I think. And her passing is a gift in my mind. I mean, she keeps me connected at all times to the flower kingdom. And that is my work here on the planet. So if she, you know, I feel like she, through hibiscus, woke me up. And if I can be of any use in waking other people up and being a space holder for us to wake up at this time on the planet, well, that was her gift to me and my gift to everybody else.
Amazing. Amazing. I mean, clearly you're doing that. And also what you were sharing a little bit ago about how the next age on this planet is the age of flowers, and that you are so connected with that. And so I'm curious, tell us, how can people find out more about you and your work?
So I'm out there on the internet, moonflowermedicine.love. I think that's my Instagram handle, my Facebook page, my website. So everything's under that. I do love to write and blog, and I do that at DaneeGrace.com.
Awesome. And I know you have a couple of really awesome classes coming up. I was curious, could you tell us a little bit about that as well?
Oh, thank you. Yes. I am teaching the original Plant Allies of the Tarot as depicted by Pixie. That is a 2-hour class. It's on January 18th, 2022. It's really fun. You get a flower essence that matches your birth number archetype. Great information. One of my most fun classes to teach. And the week after that, I start up my 8-week course, which is a beginner to intermediate class called Bewitched by Tarot. And it gives you the really rudimentary and basic foundation in the tarot. And I teach in a fun way. Pixie, who is the woman who, the artist of the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, is definitely my, little guide through that class. So I feel like I sprinkle everyone with some pixie dust and you leave understanding the tarot.
Yes. I'm so glad you brought her up, because as soon as you mentioned her name, I was like, oh yeah, Pixie, we got to talk about her for a minute. Is there anything else that you, because clearly I'm like, she is clearly such a guy. I feel her so present in your work with the tarot. Can you just share a little bit more about who she is and her work?
Oh my gosh. She's amazing. She's someone who's just taken over my world too. But her name's Pamela Coleman Smith. She was the artist behind the deck, and she was an esotericist, like I mentioned earlier. She went by Pixie. I know so much about her life. I don't even know what to share, but somehow she showed up in my life in the last years as this guiding voice that wants me to, bring her to life, bring Tarot to life, speak all about her and her works and what she did. And it's crazy. She died penniless. And, at this moment, like I said, this is the most sold deck still to this day of all the decks that are out there. Then there's some beautiful decks out on the marketplace at this time. But, in me always having my students set up an altar with Pixie on the altar, for instance, is how we begin my class. I just feel like I hold a space for her to be so recognized and to receive so much information. And she definitely believed in reincarnation. And so whenever she's coming back in, girl, she is coming into some wealth on the earth that she deserved.
Love that. I love that. And I mean, even just her name, Pixie, there's such a magic, there's such a myth and a magic in that, which you are so connected to. So yeah, thank you so much for joining us today. It's just an absolute honor, joy, and delight to have you on the show. And I'm super excited for your class coming out next month. So thank you so much.
Thank you for this interview, Sarah. It's so fun. Nice to be with you. Thank you.
And thanks so much for listening and joining us today on the Plant Spirit Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and please follow to subscribe, leave a review, and look forward to seeing you on the next episode.